Appian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 20th of November, 2023, and it turns out that everybody but me and my producer are in Grand Bahama. Good morning, Grand Bahama. How y'all doing up there? And good morning to Bimini. Good morning to the people of Bimini. It's exciting times. I didn't plan to talk about politics this morning. I know that the morning airwaves have been filled with talk about the by-election. We've got some, I think, important stories that deserve our attention to talk about this morning. Welcome to Monday. It's a bit cold. I didn't expect it. Somebody left the fridge open, and somebody should go close it because BPL ain't playing about their money. Please, you guys, somebody, Mr. Newry, winter is here.
The North remembers.
Bimini and West Grand Bahama, they're in the North,
they're
right?
In the North.
The Northwest.
Yes.
Northwest remembers.
It remembers.
Absolutely. Well, good morning. Let's start the show with our Sand Dollar Live read. The Sand Dollar on the Clock giveaway is back. We're giving away Sand Dollars again. Every week, six listeners can win $30 each in digital Bahamian dollars if they get the correct answer and have a digital wallet. When you call in, give the producer your name and cell number and wallet provider name. Include wallet provider and custom name in all texts. Download a digital wallet right now because every Tuesday and Thursday you can be a winner and put 30 digital Bahamian dollars in your digital wallet. We're going to start the competition again on Tuesday. So every Tuesday and Thursday, tune in. You can be a winner. I want to start the show with a quick message, a request from Coach Yo, producer. Play the tape for me. Coach Yo and her team are in the Bahamas competing at Battle for Atlantis. Coach Yo and the Ole Miss. And here's a message from Coach Yo to the Bahamian people.
You know, the Bahamas is a small country, right? And every time we're always doing something special. And I just want to say that to the Bahamian people, like, it's not enough to like my stuff on social media, to, you know, jump on board when we get to the Sweet 16. You know, I could have gone a lot of places. I just want to give a shout out to my administration because this is back-to-back in the Bahamas, right? There are tournaments in the Virgin Islands. There are tournaments in Puerto Rico. There are tournaments in the United States. And I chose, and my administration backed me, to bring my team back to the 242. We need people in the gym tomorrow, just like y'all was there for Buddy Hield. I know I don't make the shots. I know I don't make the passes, but nobody reps the 242 harder than me consistently every single day. So you come out because if it's my team, it's your team. Make the sacrifice. Come on out and help will us to a championship. Thank you for that.
That's Coach. You know, that's Coach Yolette McEwen, our Bahamian phenom coaching in women's NCAA basketball. We say congratulations to the success of the team so far. And if you have a chance, if you have an opportunity, head out to Atlantis for Battle for Atlantis. The women's tournament ends today. Go and check it out. Let's support the team. I have to say that as a woman sports fan, ladies, let's try and get out there and support Coach Yo and support our Bahamian athlete on the team. Thank you for that little moment. So I got these stories I want to talk about this morning. I didn't really want to talk about politics because, like I say, I'm sure the airwaves have been filled with stories, calls, texts about the West Grand Bahama Bimini by-election. And I found another story in the paper. I want to read from it. It's a bit of a heavy story, but I think it's one of those stories that requires our attention, right? It's about our role as citizens and community members. See, the Bahamian people are supposed to be informing policy. We're supposed to be a part of that process. We're supposed to be a part of the process of creating laws and policy creation, right? So you create laws and then you create policies to properly implement the laws or enforce them. But we can only do that if we can get a sense of how the laws and policies operate. This is a story that I think we should hear. We should think about, form our opinions, and then we should let our legislators know how we feel about it. Some of you may not feel the same way about the story as I do, but I think when you hear the story, it may be important to you for other reasons. The story was in Friday's Guardian and Friday's Tribune. In the Guardian, the article is bus driver jailed for 10 years for attempted rape. In the Tribune, man who held woman hostage on his bus and raped her gets 10-year sentence. Now, first, the headlines are not entirely, but slightly different. The Guardian story says he was jailed for 10 years for attempted rape. The Tribune story says man who held woman hostage on his bus and raped her gets 10-year sentence. Now, these headlines aren't necessarily contradicting each other. It could be that he was convicted of attempted rape, even though he may have raped the woman. Now, it's a bit heavy for a Monday morning, but it can't be heavier than all this by-election talk. And let me just make a note. And the violent rhetoric, the defamatory rhetoric, the disgusting, disrespectful rhetoric that has flowed from some of the campaigns. Not all, just some. Let's get to the story. I'm going to read from the Tribune first. A bus driver was sentenced to 10 years in prison for trying to rape a woman he held hostage outside the Mall of Marathon in 2021. During the trial, the 21-year-old victim said she was a passenger on the number 15 bus of Douglas Eddy, 38 years of age, after he picked her and her friends up at Potter's Key Dock on March the 7th, 2021. Again, a trigger warning. Story's a bit heavy. She told her friends that Eddie made her feel uncomfortable and asked to be dropped home first. Later that evening, after Eddie had dropped everyone else off, he stopped in the area of the mall at Marathon and told her that she wasn't leaving until she had sex with him. During the sexual assault, Eddie reportedly grabbed the victim's breasts and privates and told her to put the tip of his member inside her. She escaped from her assailant twice, running once to Wendy's and a second time to KFC. After the second escape, Eddie reportedly pulled out a hammer and threatened her outside Kelly's home center, forcing her back to the bus. She said he told her, quote, "Watch and see what I'm going to do to you," close quote. She recounted through tears how she fought him and, quote, "felt it," close quotes, when he put the tip of his member inside her. She also said she saw him put on a condom, felt it near her privates. The victim ultimately escaped when Eddie stopped the bus, allowing her to jump out of a window. He was reportedly arrested outside Kelly's lumberyard on East Street in the company of the visibly traumatized victim later that evening. A 9-person jury unanimously found Eddie guilty of the offense over the summer. He has a previous unlawful sexual intercourse conviction from 2014. Throughout his trial, he maintained his innocence and claimed that he and the victim were in a relationship at the time of the assault. Justice Wilmina Archer Minnis told the convict that the young victim suffered mentally, physically, and emotionally from the ordeal. She also said he made her relive her harrowing conviction experience by having to testify. The judge noted that Eddie only expressed remorse in the late hours following his conviction and dismissed the idea that he was ever in a relationship with the victim. Quote, "This is not the manner of conduct that love is expressed," close quotes, Justice Archer Minnis said. "If she were in a relationship," quote, "she would have been running toward you and not away from you," close quotes. Eddie's 10-year jail sentence must run from the date of his conviction. Yukal Bonaby prosecuted the case. Nathan Smith represented the accused. That's the entirety of the article. Mr. Newry, thank you for joining me this morning. I wanted to bounce this off of someone just in case, you know, we don't get a lot of callers with this conversation. The first thing that I thought about was, how is it that this gentleman only got 10 years sentence, given all of the things that were described in that article? We have what appears to be 3 separate acts of kidnapping, right? One, not following her wishes and dropping her off first, and then taking her not to her home. The second, when she escaped from the bus by Wendy's. The third, at KFC, right? There are at least 3 instances where he kidnapped her. Then there are threats of death. Because if you come at me with a hammer and say, "Watch and see what I'm going to do to you," what am I to speculate? What am I to think you intending to do? We know that the act of rape is described as penetration. It appears as if he raped her, that he penetrated her, even though it may not have been full penetration. And the sexual assault. I'm just thinking, why is the sentence only 10 years? He went to trial, so there's no plea deal involved in the case, right? Do you think that 10 years is a reasonable sentence for that? We're not critiquing the judge. We're critiquing the legislature and Parliament, and whether Parliament is arming the judiciary with the tools to properly address or respond to crimes of this nature.
Good morning, Erin. And this is a tricky situation, and yeah. I appreciate you asking me from a male point of view.
Yeah.
Right? I'll answer you with this. Several years ago, a child, six years old, mm-hmm. was sexually assaulted by a grown man, right? This man, so you visualize what happened, ruined this child, because when he, whatever act he did, he, when he, wombs and whatever it is was destroyed. I want people to see what I'm trying to say.
Intense bodily invasion, right? Very invasive.
I can't picture what that means.
Well, you ever heard them talk about invasive surgery?
I can't picture what that means. I need the listening audience to envision what happened to this 4 or 5 year old child. This monster penetrated her, right? And when he pulled out everything.
Physical injury.
Completely physical. It ruined everything.
Devastating, yeah.
Or to this child, right? How violent he was in terms of what he was doing to this child. He got 4 years. 4 years.
As a part of a plea deal?
I don't even care whether it's part of a plea deal or whatever it is. My point is, he got 4 years. I would have charged for murder of some sort because he...
Attempted murder.
Something.
Yeah.
Right? But he got 4 years. Right? I can give memory of at least 2 other cases involving children. The assault, sexual assault
rape.
Of children, minors. When I say children, I take top people, children under 10.
Mm-hmm.
And the monsters got 4 years. Like 4 years is the number. 4 years for doing this to children. So when you go back to what you're talking about, this lady who's being violently assaulted or threatened, penetrated, and the gentleman got 10 years. When you're used to 4 years, you say, man, 10 years is a lot of time. I'm then used to 4 years, right? I'm just grateful that this person, the judge, the system,
mm-hmm.
was able to get 10 years for this. Instead of using that round number of 4. I'm not even sure what is the usual number for rape. Is it 7 years, perhaps?
Right. I think the first offense for instances involving adults, right? People over the age of 17. First offense is 7 years, I think.
I know it's 7. I remember 7. 7 being the number.
And like, that's like your first, that's like the lowest, your first offense, right? And then I think second offense moves up to 14 years. Hmm. And then life, right? You can be sentenced, I think you can be sentenced. The last time I looked at the legislation, I think you could be sentenced up to life, right? For rape. And so here's the question, Mr. Nuri. I know you have a bit of a legal background, like me, just a bit, right? Like we're not lawyers.
No,
at all.
No.
We have a constitutional issue with the implementation of minimum maximum laws here, right? I don't think we haven't quite figured out how to do that yet. But does this case, for me, what it brings up is that perhaps we need to re-legislate around sexual offenses, that we need to take a different approach and extend the length of the sentences as opposed to this legal regime that seems to view sexual offenses as less egregious, as less grievous than they ought to be regarded. I want to throw that out. I guess we haven't gotten any calls. Let me see the text line. Mr. Nuri, I guess people really want to talk. Politics. Great show as usual. We have a sick rape culture in the Bahamas where people think it's normal. Producer, let's grab that call. I call it a sick culture. He should have gotten 50 years.
One of my concerns also is... Mm-hmm. The gentleman, see, I use the man, say gentleman, the perpetrator's initial defense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if people appreciate that or even challenge you if you appreciate what his defense is. He said, she and I was in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And by what I'm trying to understand why he said it is to say that my relationship with her, just saying that they were, mm-hmm. even though it's ridiculous, right? My relationship with her mitigates what I did.
Right. looking at this sticker pin very, very much. I want you to be going back to that. Let me get to this caller on the line. Good morning, caller.
Well, good morning, Aaron, and to CA.
Good morning, sir.
You know, we have so many more pressing, pertinent, and important issues than a by-election.
Mm-hmm.
You are correct. The whole day will be full of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's why we should have some sense in the place. And you have to be so careful when you're talking about legal in the Bahamas. But let me give you a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
30 years ago, we should have had surveillance cameras on every one of these buses.
Yeah.
In a locked box where the driver most times doesn't own the bus, correct?
Right.
Where the owner could see what's happening on the inside of his bus and on the four corners on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
This is nothing fancy. It's in almost every new car.
Mm-hmm.
That could have been retrieved, and we could have validated or not validated what happened. And I, as a bus driver, would demand that in my bus to protect me.
Yeah.
Secondly, all of the fast food chains you spoke of mm-hmm. have surveillance, yes?
Yep.
The mall has some of the best surveillance.
Mm-hmm.
I would have asked for all the cameras so I could see if what was being said actually happened or didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And we could have built a really solid case. Now, I can't help the laws of the land, but when you described not just one type of crime, but many different crimes,
mm-hmm.
Did it say in the paper how many different charges were brought? Like the gentleman in, I believe, Long Island, he had 40, 50 charges against him?
Mm-hmm.
So how many charges did the paper say were brought?
Right, initially were brought against him.
See, that's the question, because what is the minimum carry on each charge or offense?
Mm-hmm.
We got to build this sensibly, and I'm not a lawyer either.
Yeah.
I'm just somebody with more common sense and critical thinking skills. But I don't think I can go much further in this conversation nationally. But with you, face-to-face,
yeah, we could talk more about it. Yeah.
We should have asked. But another thing I want you and CA to talk about
mm-hmm.
is, will the cost of energy, which is fuel and electricity, make a lot of my people skinny, skinny, skinny this Christmas?
Ah.
Because when I see that $100 ham,
how are we going to adjust our budgets?
And
yeah.
I see them blaming everybody who owns a food store. But they feel free to hop on a plane, go to Miami, get a hotel rental car, and go down there by Publix, whoever, and buy one ham for $20 and come home. I bet you it costs you $800.
Thank you.
When you have to bring that ham here,
yeah.
Why don't you and CA discuss every level of taxation put on the food store? From the shipping, from the VAT, from the duty, from the customs entry fee, from the environmental disposal levy fee on, and the fee for the truck that pays taxes to get it to the food store,
yeah.
And the high electricity cost. See, we don't talk about all of the things that we're hitting these food stores with. You know, I really wish that major food store gentleman would come and talk to you one day and show you the first cost of a ham and what happens to it before it gets on that shelf where he pays thousands and thousands. You wouldn't want to know how much a light bill is.
Thank you, Graham.
You have a good one.
I can reach out to them.
And ballers, big ballers, will have ham this Christmas.
Okay.
Later.
Look like I'll be eating spam then, Graham. You know exactly what economic bracket I exist in. Yeah. I want to thank Mr. Weatherford for that contribution. You know, solutions. Things that we can do as citizens, right, to be actively engaged in this process of policy making. We're not critiquing the judge, right? Because we're not allowed, like in our system, there's a separation of powers, the legislature, the judiciary, the executive, they have strict rules about how they must operate around each other. So we're not critiquing the judge, we're questioning how we can enhance, reinforce the judicial system, right, to provide greater recourse for victims of sexual offenses. Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
How you doing?
How you all doing?
Good.
Yeah, Grandma's on to something here. I think bus on public bus, you have cameras, webcams, and their buses back and forward. It's happened in the United States on public transportation. Even their school buses have cameras. I'm sure you all see that, right?
Yeah.
So if they report something unusual on the bus driver, they got cameras to verify it. So we need them on the bus, on the buses. Now, on the, I don't know if y'all want to talk about this, but the sinking of the boat.
Sinking of the boat, you mean Blue Lagoon Island?
Yes.
Let's be careful. You know, let's remember we got to measure our words.
I can be general. I think there's time for a more procedure regulation.
Yeah, we need greater regulation.
Right, they've been talking about that, Aaron Green, and I had a copy of this a long time ago when they both to regulate what they call a taxi bus service, taxi boat service.
Mm-hmm.
And that come on a taxi, right? Taxi boat.
I have to confirm.
Right, there were talks about that.
Yeah.
And, how often do inspectors inspect these boats?
Yeah. And not just like inspect for seaworthiness, you know, but inspect that the proper procedures and protocols are being followed while the boat is being, while the boat is in operation.
Check for the life jacket, because I'm life jacket, it could be leaked.
Check could be broken.
Life jackets are working.
Yeah.
Check, do you have to store up sufficient life jacket, what the requirements say?
Yeah.
You need to have for each person. I think there's a what you call that blow up.
Inflatables.
You have them?
Yeah.
Could hold sufficient candidate if you have a, and do you have a satellite communication connect with Defense Force?
Yeah, without a doubt. All of those things. Thank you, Pumpkin Eater.
Well, let me close with this. Thank God. I want to commend the boaters in the area.
For responding so quickly, eh?
Yeah, if they wasn't, yeah, my God, it would have been a biggest catastrophe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank God for them.
Thank you, Pumpkin Eater. You too. Let's go to this other call quickly, and then, Mr. Nuri, we got to get back to your point. Good morning, caller. Coming to you right now. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
How you do?
I guess I got 30 seconds now after them two gone.
Because you know I got to get back to this conversation and then boating regulations and the culture of bus drivers in the Bahamas. Plenty to talk about.
Yeah, I am. I agree with that. But when y'all talk about y'all $90 and $80 ham and turkey, I go into Hardin's on Wolf Road and give me $25 for the cheap tongue.
Uh-huh.
With one bag of onion and one bag of potato and some gold pepper and plenty sour lime. And I have sheep down south for my chicken dinner on New Year's, and I can do a big pot. So I eat on Christmas morning, I eat the same thing New Year's morning.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
No, I tell you one thing. All the people got all the answering thing about this supposedly rape or molestation and things like that. See, I look at it from the old people. You know, the old people say, you remember that thing they used to call the cat nine tails?
Mm-hmm.
I think they should bring, I think them lawyers and them, all them house full of lawyers up in the assembly house, should get back. And I hear that, I only heard that from growing up. When they used to send you up there and you walk in there, you get six slash at a cat nine tail when you're moving in. And when you're moving back out, they give you six more when you're leaving. And I hear after that, you never want to go to Parkville, you never want to drive Parkville Road no more.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're going up there in a hoist, you don't want to go to, you don't want to pass the prison wall no more. I hear that cat nine tail used to do you in.
Yes, Parky, it is.
Then you ain't cutting off the arm or cutting off in the Muslim world, they shoot you in the square thing.
Yeah.
But you see, I don't care what nobody say around here when it comes to molesting a lady. If that lady say no, even if she's walking downtown in a bikini, if she say no, don't talk about your eye going crazy and mess with your head. If she say no, you zip your pants back up.
This should have never been unzipped in the first place.
Back in the day, I know it was against the law. They used to call it indecent exposure.
Mm-hmm.
When you walk down Bay Street, anything clad like a bikini and thing.
You ever seen a tourist get hit with a indecent exposure?
No more. They couldn't do that back in the day, you know.
Yeah.
They eased the law. The only time you could have put on a bathing suit like that was when you was on the beach.
I got you, Sparky.
I remember the old lady, our old lady, your old lady, and them. When they go on the beach, they wear something look like a dress.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, ain't no bare belly, navel, and things, seeing and things.
Now, listen, Sparky, you caused me to put on all my clothes to go on the beach again.
Because I want to
thank you.
If you had a daughter, or if I had a daughter, a sister, a mother, I could get swing sometime. Because if I can't beat you, something else might be able to beat you. Because I tell you, before the police reach you, I do like a motherfucker. You're going to jail. You come up with your ankle braces. You see what's happened here?
All right. Yes, all right. Sparky. Thank you very much. Sparky.
That's a long 30 seconds.
Yeah, but he raised some good points in there.
I'm just saying the 30 seconds.
Yeah, it was long. He raised some good points in there. First of all, I appreciate one thing about Sparky. Sparky let you know, I's man, and man don't tolerate these things. We have self-discipline. We have decorum, right? We have self-control. I appreciate that, Sparky. I appreciate that constant refrain, because some men have forgotten it. The question, Nuri, to get back to is, what is the balance, right? What is the balance between public expression and public behavior and personal discipline and control, especially in a tourist space, especially in a tourism country? But I want to get back to the point that you made, and then which is the gentleman's defense was that this was my woman. And what did he attempt to evoke, right, by stating that? And then I want to sort of intersect with the culture around young women and bus drivers, right? That we haven't really had a formal conversation about in this country.
You really want to talk about that, though? Or you
no.
Save that for another time?
I don't really want... No, I just, as an aside, right, just as an intersection, I don't really want to delve into it. I just want to raise it as an intersection to this conversation, especially when we're going straight to your point, his defense that she was my woman, right? Like, he's suggesting that this is acceptable.
This is a domestic dispute that the judge, the court is intervening in.
Right.
And domestic disputes are sacred.
Right.
And that should be held within the confines of the relationship.
Right. See, because we have this culture of illicit, inappropriate, and illegal relations, sexual intimacy, loose social relationships between bus drivers and young students, young women in high school. It's a broad range because some of these young girls have been groomed. It's obvious they've been groomed. Some of them come from a culture where they're so economically constrained, right, that transactional sex is encouraged, right, by some members of the community and members of the family for young girls. And some young girls are acting above their age because they have sort of grown in, because of sexual assault, molestation as young girls, they may favor or seek out relationships with older men, right? They may have developed a promiscuity that leaves them vulnerable to grown men. And I say all of this like that because the human brain does not stop developing until you hit about the age 25. 25, your brain is still developing. So we expect young people to engage in risky behavior. We expect them, sorry about that, call a call back. We expect them to engage in risky behavior. We expect them to make dangerous, sometimes dangerous choices, right? Our job as adults is to protect them.
I see the caller coming back. I'm going to engage the caller, but I am concerned also about, again, the rape in marriage, right? And the reason why I bring that up again, right, even though it's a completely parallel topic, the idea that culturally it seems that men, Bahamian men, has as a defense as, I'm intimate in my partner. You should expect us to have row.
Yeah.
You expect me to force her every so often.
Right.
This is a part of our courtship. as a defense.
Right.
I am concerned with, but let's go to the caller.
That's a good parallel.
Yeah.
Good morning, caller.
Ms. Green.
Good morning.
CA.
Hey, blessings.
Oh, you're my cousin for true, because I'm from Snow Corner, Auckland.
Oh, yeah, good cousin, man.
I'm going to speak as a bus owner and a used-to-be bus driver.
Mm-hmm.
I was before I had a chance to own my own buses, I used to work for a company. And what we used to do, we used to switch our buses because the company I was working for had like 5 buses. So I would feel like driving on this route that day. So being a bus driver, switch buses just for that day.
Mm-hmm.
And what had happened to me, I'd let a fella drive my bus. At a party, I touched a girl hand inappropriate when she was busy paying the bus fare.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know about it because, like I said, I was in his bus, he was in my bus.
Yeah.
And the girl was so smart, at least she got the bus number.
Mm-hmm.
And she reported it to her. I found out later on that the person was a mummy's fiance or somebody, but he was a Belize.
Mm-hmm.
Man is green that next morning. They had almost all the police force waiting on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, I don't know what happened, so I end up driving my bus back the next day.
Yeah.
Not knowing what was happening.
Yeah.
Man, them police talk. So the only thing they do is beat me. I ain't lying. Them. They beat me.
Yeah.
But they came here by Quaco Street Police Station. Y'all big man. Them brother. I said, but sir, I trying to explain them what is. No, it is a good thing. They allowed the young lady to come to the station with a mummy.
Yeah.
And she said, no, that ain't him. It ain't him.
Mm-hmm.
They know he wasn't right. That's what saved me.
Yeah.
You know, but eventually the case got sorted out because I had to let them know who was driving my bus.
Yeah.
You know, and I thank God the little girl was so, because the little girl might have been intimidated by her parents who went and said, yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. And I was so glad for that, man. I had to call to tell you. And then you have a lot of these young school girls.
Yeah.
They see that dollar bill.
Yeah.
Now they don't know that fellas ain't own that dollar bill. That fellas ain't working for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But they ain't looking at that.
Because they're young and foolish because their brains ain't formed yet.
I want to say what they say, but they're young and they're dumb and they're full of any of.
Sir, they are. We can cut it right there. Thank you much. The point that's being made is that they're living in circumstances well beyond their capacity to navigate reasonably.
You said something, Ms. Green.
Yeah.
A lot of them are advised by the big sisters, some of their mummies, some of the aunties, you know?
And they're watching people, right? Like, see, they're watching the community. They're watching people in the community. They think that they see in the whole picture. But
no,
they
don't watch out a story yet.
Right, they only see in the...
Before the movie over.
Right, and so they seeing people maybe improve their lives, externally through transactional engagement, transactional relationships. In fact, we could talk here and be as pious as we want, but we have developed this culture of transactional engagement.
Yes, ma'am, you're right. You're correct. You're right.
Children are growing up in this thinking it's normal, right? When we talk about, even what Mr. Newry raised about the parallel to the discourse around marital rape, right? I pay the bills, so she must give me sex.
Yeah, that's the trade-off.
Right.
But in closing, Ms. Green.
Yes, sir.
You know what happens to a lot of young girls when they see 3 and 4 different fellas coming to mummy? And come with a big sister. They think that's a style. They think that's what's happening.
That's
you see what I'm saying?
And unless somebody clearly explains to them what's happening, and
well, who's going to explain it to them when they're living with the people who's doing it? The people who's supposed to explain it to them is the same who are doing it.
Yeah, I with you. And yeah. how do you tell a child that your parents are doing something extremely wrong? Like, how can you tell a child that?
Oh, no. The moment they die is always right. That's like me drinking and telling my son don't drink.
Yeah.
I drunk, coming home drunk every night, but more rob him when I see him drinking a beer.
And there's this love. Even when our parents are doing, even when your parents using crack in front of you, there's a love for them that you can't, you just can't cut off.
That's your parent.
Right, exactly.
That's something special. That's your parent.
And so how do we as society not remove children from their parents, because that's the best bond, but create an environment with legal, infrastructural, social, economic. How do we create an environment that supports parents who are struggling through trauma without separating them from their children, but also protects children?
But the biggest thing on that, Ms. Green, the parent has to realize that they have a problem.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
As long as they don't realize they have a problem, you're beating a dead horse.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for your contribution.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
Most of all, because we know that it's not all bus drivers.
No. We have some excellent bus drivers,
I mean it.
It's just that crazy crew that just came around here the last 10 years, and that little young crew. We have some excellent, I talk about professional bus drivers.
Yeah, we can't denigrate the entire industry.
Ma'am.
Absolutely.
No,
thank you very much.
Okay.
All right. A producer, let's go to a break. When we get back from the break, we can pick up on this point. Is that a new call? No. When we get back from the break, we're going to pick up on this conversation. Because Mr. Newry, I think that was a very important point. But like I say, for another conversation to unfold entirely. You guys stay tuned. We're on the clock with Erin Green. You're tuned into Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Holiday season is upon us, and everyone's going to be looking for those special items on their gift list. Merchants, here's your opportunity to have your products placed in the Nassau Guardian's Holiday Gift Guide. This year, shoppers are going to be searching for perfect presents at the right price. Anything from a family island weekend getaway to electronics, jewelry, and even clothes. For one low price, you can have your ads published twice this December in the Nassau Guardian's Holiday Gift Guide. Deadline for registration is Wednesday, November 30th. Be sure to contact your Nassau Guardian sales agent or call the Nassau Guardian directly at 302-2300. Be sure to ask about our 15-30-second Christmas radio commercial bonanza.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
The Nassau Guardian's Holiday Gift Guide. Our gift to you. Because Christmas...
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama News in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back. We're going to get right to it. We only have a few minutes left in this discussion. Some text and then a couple more stories. Oh my God, Erin, if we talk about the bus drivers and the young girls, that opens up the conversation of grooming and pedophilia being major issues in our little Christian nation. It's a Pandora's box. Another text, too much value is paid on being a breadwinner and not being a helpmate. Imagine being in a home where you take care of everything, do not get a salary, and the breadwinner thinks they own you. Who do you run to? What mechanisms are truly in place to help stay-at-home a mom's transition? Rape happens in these cases, but the outrage is just not there. Mr. Newry, in Venezuela over a decade ago, they had a constitutional reform exercise, I think, and the country voted that the homekeeper, whether male or female, whether husband or wife, right? I mean, or whether spouses or extended family, the homekeeper will be compensated through their social security system, right? That, because that's how much they value the input of the person who maintains the home to the family, to the community, and to the nation, right? And that's one way we deal with it, or we begin the shift in the culture, is by signifying the value of that work. Another text, for answers to your questions on the legislation, all I have to say, Aaron, is I personally am not advocating for any law against people who love chocolate, because I am a guilty and habitual chocolate eater. Think about that for a minute. Why would I disadvantage myself? It will answer all your questions about legislation around unwanted sexual violations. Put that right there. Thank you, Texter. There's a big case coming up in 2024. So, Mr. Newry, here are a couple of stories just to follow up in the last few minutes on that conversation. From last week, Friday, 17th of November, in the Nassau Guardian, father convicted of incest. A father convicted of incest this week has been remanded to prison for the penalty phase of his trial. The now 24-year-old virtual complainant alleged that the 46-year-old widower of New Providence began molesting her soon after her mother died in April 2013, when she was 13 years old. The sexual abuse allegedly continued up to soon after her mother died in April 2013, when she was 13, up to the sexual abuse allegedly continued up to October 27th, 2020. The dad, however, only faced 7 counts of incest that allegedly took place in February 2015, February 2017, December 2019, and February 2020, March 2020, July 2020, and October 27th, 2020. The witness said that her father introduced her to pornography, bought her a sexual toy, and would perform intimate searches when he bathed her. The father denied the allegations when he took the stand, and he described his daughter as promiscuous. His lawyer requested a probation report to assist the court in determining the appropriate sentence. The man returns to court, I think January 23rd, 2024. Yeah. Here's another headline. Man accused of molesting 15-year-old girl granted bail. Nassau Tribune, 17th of November. 34-year-old man was granted $5,000 bail after he allegedly molested a 15-year-old girl. Senior Magistrate Carolyn Voigt Evans charged Benjamin Lightburn with indecent assault. Lightburn allegedly inappropriately touched an underage girl in New Providence on November 9th. After pleading not guilty, the defendant was informed that under the terms of his bail, he must sign in at the Fox Hill Police Station on the last Sunday of each month. He was also warned not to interfere with the witnesses or complainant. Now, let me ask you a quick question. In instances like that, should he be required to wear a electronic monitoring device so as to be able to prove or to determine or to prove, if required, his location at the given times of the noted in the accusation?
Do the anklet bracelet work? Because, you know, they could be found dead and they'd be missing for like days and the police don't know where they are.
I'm not sure if it's that the EMDs, the electronic monitoring devices, are not working, or that the policy approved for the operation of the electronic monitoring devices is not working. Right? It's one of the two. Because I have another story here, how you say that. This is headline. Triple murder accused gets 8-month sentence for violation of bail conditions. A man on bail accused of a triple murder was sentenced to 8 months in prison after he admitted to consistently failing to sign into his local police station. Magistrate Raquel Wims charged Eltario Monroe Jr., 20, with 16 counts of violation of bail conditions. Monroe was on release pending murder charges before the Supreme Court for the fatal shooting of Kenneth Ulin Gromikio Simonet and Justin Cash as they stood outside a house on Prison Lane on October 29, 2021. Monroe failed to sign into his local police station 16 times between July 3rd and October 30th. After pleading guilty to the charges, Monroe was sentenced to 8 months at the Bahamas Department of Correctional Services. So, back to the point you made, is are the devices not working? And my counterpoint, or is it that the policy and the legislation and the policy is ineffective? Because I can lock you up after you violate your bail conditions once.
But he hasn't been found guilty. You lock him up and charge him for what?
No, I'm revoking your bail. From the first time you violate, this is what I don't understand, right? Uh-huh. See, because we got another article from last week's paper with the commissioner of police.
But isn't bail a constitutional right?
Bail is a constitutional right.
Can you revoke a
No, you're not revoking right. The constitutional right. They got bail.
Mm-hmm.
Then they violated the bail. Surely I can revoke the bail after you violated the terms of your bail, the conditions of your bail.
But you have to sentence them for something.
No. They're not being sentenced. They will now spend the remainder of the time as they wait for their trial on remand.
Now, if they are not guilty, someone needs to compensate them for the time they spent on remand.
No, is anybody compensating these people for the amount of time they spent on remand?
They need to be compensated generally.
I we know that you can sue the state. Like, you could go to the state and say, hey, this is an unreasonable amount of time that I'm being held, right? It's an unreasonable amount of time that I'm being held. You could do that. But the person was granted bail. My question is, on the first breach of your bail terms or conditions, why are we not revoking the bail?
No, not necessarily revoking. Why aren't we not charging him for not complying and have a sentence for that?
Well, so two things. Charge them for not complying.
Yes.
Have a sentence for that, which we see, and get into that in a second. Have a sentence, maybe in your hour?
We talking history and culture.
Give me 3 seconds in your hour, man.
You can get the 3 seconds, man.
Well, I thank you very much.
Okay.
It is 11:01. We're all out of time. I want to thank the callers this morning and the texters for such mature engagement and interrogation and contributions. And again, we are not critiquing or attempting to denigrate the judge. We're questioning whether we can reinforce or enhance both legislation and policy to what I feel is to create a better response to sexual violence in the country. Also, we're not denigrating all bus drivers. I want to just say that as we end the show. Thank you for tuning in to On the Clock with Erin Green. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.